The Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 18. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he stood at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, while I bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, Do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, Quick, three seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, Where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, She is in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, After I am worn out, and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh and say, Shall I indeed bear a child, now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Colossians chapter 1. You who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text is Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. The sermon title is The Good Portion. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the story of Mary and Martha of the village of Bethany is a simple one. Mary and Martha were close personal friends with Jesus, along with their brother Lazarus. Lazarus gets to feature in a story about his own death and then a resurrection at the hand of Jesus. The story of Lazarus points to the church at the end of history when all believers will be raised in glory. The story of Mary and Martha points to the church in the present time. This gospel talks about why you are all here today in church, and why those who do not gather regularly are not here. Jesus paid a visit to Mary and Martha one day. Martha was indignant when she discovered that Mary was visiting with Jesus and not helping in the kitchen. I can imagine Martha's frustration because Jesus brought along his 12 apostles wherever he went, and they were hungry and wanted to eat. So who's going to serve them? You can see the same sort of frustration in Bilbo Baggins at the beginning of the movie called The Hobbit. The wizard Gandalf appears, and he's sure happy to see him, but then there's a whole company of dwarves who proceed to devour Bilbo's pantry and anything else in the house that was edible. Martha was gracious and hospitable, but she was also counting on some help from her sister, and she needed it. What was wrong with Mary? She was sitting at Jesus' feet as if she was some type of student of Jesus. Didn't Mary know that women were not supposed to get educated in those days? Was Mary a kind of first century Jewish feminist? Or was she just trying to avoid kitchen chores? Now, it does not say, but we can assume that Martha gave Mary some hints to help. The first may be subtle, like, and the latter ones may be not so subtle. Finally, Martha interrupted Jesus' lecture and told him to command her to help with the chores. Jesus' response was, I'm sure, a disappointment to Martha. He said, I quote again, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. In other words, Jesus was saying, no, I will not command her to help you. Her priorities are right on. Now, this story can be told on several levels of meaning and application. At first glance, Jesus was unfair to Martha. After all, she was doing the work that needed to be done to feed and entertain the guests. And if Martha didn't do it, it wouldn't be done. And what kind of hospitality was that? Every church, community group, or family has someone who does as little work as possible. And they may be perfectly polite, but they simply don't help or work. At another level, this story is a parable of the church. One reason that some people might not show up to church is that they are entertaining company. Hebrews says that we should show hospitality because Abraham entertained angels without knowing it. That's our Old Testament lesson today. But you know that the angels would have much rather gone to church than to go visit that hive of iniquity, namely Sodom and Gomorrah, which was their next stop on their trip. So if you are entertaining guests because they might be angels, bring them to church and invite them to join in singing our hymns. At another level, this story is about getting your priorities straight. That is, choosing the good portion in your weekly schedule. Absence from church is a clear statement that what is happening elsewhere is more important than what is happening here. We can dogmatically say that what happens in church is more important than what is happening anywhere else. And that's not because I'm here. In his word and in his sacrament, Jesus is here, here in church, and nowhere else. You can sit at Jesus' feet and eat supper with him. Jesus talked about priorities in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, "You cannot serve God and mammon." Christianity is about choosing Christ above everything else. Any form of our religion that does not put Jesus first is not true Christianity, and its devotees are not Jesus' true disciples. Christ is not only the most important thing that has ever happened to the world, but in comparison to him, everything else has no existence. Only Christ has meaning both in life and death. Mary knew this. Martha knew this. This is how we handle death. Now, we should not go to the other extreme and condemn works of service or charity. Works of charity are not unimportant. You could argue that we produced a generation or two of Americans for whom self-pleasure was their guiding compass in life. And when you find someone who serves others for all the right reasons, that's something to be admired. But even the noblest of works can never be an excuse for not listening to Jesus. Now, regardless of how humble the church looks externally, it's here that the voice of Jesus is heard. Every family, every organization, every business, every pleasure and pastime will pass away, but the church remains forever, and we have Jesus' promise for that. The clear point of this story is that listening to Jesus is more important than anything else. Some people say that they would believe if they could personally listen to Jesus in person. Well, St. Luke wrote this gospel precisely so that everyone can listen to Jesus and hear his words. Jesus does not come to you on your walks through the woods or in the garden or in visions or in dreams. Now, I go walking through the woods, but I'm not looking for Jesus there. Jesus comes to you in the words of the Bible and in preaching. Jesus said to his disciples who became preachers, "Whoever hears you hears me." Luke 10:16. Well, if listening to Jesus is more important than anything else, should we then all enter a monastery and spend all our time in prayer and contemplating God's word? No. God has placed each one of us into this world to love God, obey his commandments, and serve our neighbor. Just because Jesus is most important doesn't make those other things unimportant. The story of Mary and Martha can be told at one other level. The church is different from all other organizations. You see, if you want ethics, that's how to live your life, the right and wrong, well, then there is Confucianism or Judaism, which specialize in ethics. If you want scholarship, there are the universities. If you want philanthropy, there is the United Way, charitable organizations, and the fraternal societies that are dedicated to charity. For the youth, there is Little League, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, etc. Now, the Christian church was also a charitable institution, the first charitable institution that the world ever knew. Wherever the church went, it brought civilized society and education and charity with it. And as valuable as all these good works are, they do not make the church. Preaching the forgiveness of sins in Jesus makes us a church and makes us different from every other group. Only in the church is God known as our Father in heaven, who sent his Spirit into our hearts with the Son's forgiveness. Only in the church is the way to heaven paved with the body and blood of Jesus, not merely with good intentions. When the church no longer proclaims this gospel, when the church no longer abides by the doctrine of the New Testament, then a church is no longer the church. Jesus said, "Salt without its saltiness has to be thrown out and trampled underfoot," Matthew 5:13. And sad to say, this applies to many denominations today in America. When the brother of Mary and Martha later died, Jesus told Martha that her brother Lazarus would rise again. Well, she thought he meant on the last day, the end of history, when all flesh will be resurrected. But he wasn't really saying that at all. The resurrection was not something happening just in the future. Resurrection power is not just in the future. It was happening right then and there, wherever Jesus was. Jesus told Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life." Think about that. I am. It's not an event. Resurrection is a person. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Jesus did not simply teach divine truth. He is the truth. He does not simply teach us how to live. He is the life. He's not simply show us the way to heaven. He is the way to heaven. Martha found the good portion, the way, the truth, and the life. And that good portion would not be taken away from her. And it will not be taken away from you either, so long as you are baptized and believe in him and attend to his word. In Jesus' name, amen.